We have, if you've been reading the reading plan, if you've been following the reading plan this week, you'll have been reading Psalms and Philemon. So I'm not reading all the Psalms because time is short to start with, but I am going to read the first one because I do think it's important that we read God's word in a service of worship. So this is Psalm 142. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him, before I tell him my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge, no one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Amen. The book of Psalms is at the center of God's word. It's the middle of the Bible. It was written between the time of Moses and the captivity in Babylon. And it's a collection of songs and prayers which relate to the very heart and soul of humanity. I think I've mentioned on previous occasions that the whole range of human experiences can be found in the book of Psalms. They were written by several different people, but when I looked at it, David wrote almost half of them himself. All the Psalms that we read, if we've read them last week, were written by David. And as I read those Psalms, it struck me that they were all about the writer, in this case, David, having a meaningful, an honest, and a trusting relationship with his God. Going back a bit, King Saul gave David a high-ranking position in his army. And, you know, it didn't matter what he was given to do or which armies he was had to face. He was always successful because God was with him. But as we know, Saul became very jealous. And he tried on several occasions to kill David, which is how David was led to fear for his life, eventually running away and hiding in a cave. And this is where he is thought to have been when he wrote this psalm. He had been, just think, he had been the king's faithful servant. And yet his life was in danger. He hadn't done anything wrong. And even though God was with him, he was still afraid that he would be killed. He was tired of hiding, not being able to be himself, hurt and sad, because he had served Saul faithfully and with respect for him because he was God's anointed king. I imagine he would feel deserted because no one cared. He was on his own. Disillusioned because he himself, as we know, had been anointed by Samuel when he was younger. And he just could not see any way out of the situation he found himself in. He found himself trapped. Now I am sure at one time or another we have all had some or all of those feelings. I can't do this anymore. I want to end it all. Nobody cares. What can I do? It's hopeless. When this happens, we turn inwards. And we spiral down as if we were on a children's play side, going down even further into thinking we were useless and into despair. Especially, I think, if we're Christians, we take on guilt about how we are feeling. We shouldn't, as Christians, we shouldn't feel guilty or depressed because we know how much God loves us and looks after us. And we can feel so easily that our emotions and our depression are either because we maybe think our faith isn't strong enough or because we think we're letting everyone down. Have you been there? Have you felt like that? When we feel like this, and I think this is particularly for young Christians who have just come to the faith, but not simply young Christians, it happens to us all. We don't know how we can put things right. We're in that situation that David was in, and we just don't know how we can get out of it. Now, throughout these Psalms, it's clear to me the kind of relationship that the Lord wants with each one of us. He wants us to be honest. If we're angry, he wants to hear our complaints. But most of all, he wants us to trust him completely and in honesty. You know, often we can deceive ourselves, but there's no deceiving God because he knows our very thoughts before we even think them. That's frightening, isn't it? No matter what we have done or think we've done, he loves us and longs for this special, honest and trusting one-to-one relationship with us. Not with fancy words or phrases, just ordinary language that we use every day. And this is the kind of relationship we see in these Psalms. And in the other Psalms as well. The writers turn to God in their despair, in their anxiety, and in their trouble. But, there's always a but, isn't there? They also sing his praises and worship him as well. It's easy, isn't it, to turn to the Lord when we're in trouble, because where else can we turn? Who else is there that can help us when we're in that place where we feel so alone? And it's easy sometimes as well, when things are going well, to forget to say thank you and to give him praise. And the best way to lift us out of any depression, I think, and stop ourselves going even further down into the darkness, is to sing out our praises to the Lord that we worship. Praising him is a way of lifting us out of ourselves as we focus on how wonderful God is and the mighty works he has done. Now, many people who never give God a thought or even acknowledge he exists, they'll blame him, won't they, when things go wrong. Why is this happening to me? Why doesn't he put this right? Why doesn't he let them get away with it? It's all his fault. But these same people, when things are going okay, and they're enjoying themselves and they're not having any problems, how many will we hear say, God is good to me? Can we identify with this? Do we praise God in the bad times as well as the good times? Or do we forget him when things are going well? Even in these hard times, David continues in his despair to have faith in his God. God will help him and he will make everything right. So these Psalms, I think, show a real relationship between David and God, where he tells God all his deepest feelings and he has no guilt or shame about how he feels. You know, sometimes when people ask us, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. Doesn't matter how you are, you're fine. Sometimes if you've got a friend, how are you? And they'll say, well, I'm fine, but I suppose it could be better. Then you get relatives and family who maybe know you even a little bit more. But there is one thing for sure, and that's that God knows us better than we can ever know ourselves. The more we open up our deepest feelings and emotions to him, the stronger that relationship will become. A second theme in these Psalms is that of faith. No matter how bad he feels, how sad, how hurt, or how angry, David knows that he can trust God to show him the way forward. Because he knows of God's past record with his people and his unconditional love. And he also knows how God equipped him to kill the giant Goliath. Even in his deep distress, he says, "When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. You are my refuge, my only hope of life." In 143, he says, "Teach me your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." In 144, he tells us, "He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." And then in the last one, he says, "God is all mercy and grace. He's not quick to anger, and he's rich in love. Everything God does is right. The trademark on all his works is love." Now, these were written by David as he was in this hole, feeling nobody loved him. This was the strength of the faith he had in his God, even in the situation he was in. What a strong faith and belief he had. So, is our faith anywhere near as strong as his was in the good times and the bad? The third theme in these Psalms is prayer. And David is talking to his God in all of them. Faith is a gift from God. We are all given his Holy Spirit to help us when we accept that gift of faith. But without prayer, such as we've read in these Psalms, our relationship with the Lord will never grow and deepen. Personally, I believe that prayer is the powerhouse of Christ's church. Whether it's private prayer, long or short prayers, or corporate prayer, where as God's people we join together to talk to him. Every growing church needs, in fact every church needs, a good prayer life. And that is why it is so important for this church, not talking about, it's important for all churches, but I'm talking to this church, our God's church here in West Auckland, to meet at the arranged times for corporate prayer, which are always shown on the notices. There is power in God's people meeting together to join together in prayer. Even though God knows answers and answers our prayers, it won't always be the answers that we're looking for. And it may not be answered when we think it should, or how we think it should. We have to be observant and open our eyes to the Holy Spirit to look for God's answers. Now then, I'm going to read you. This is a card. I've had this card for a long time. You've maybe heard about this before, but I'll just read it to you. It's about a man being caught in a flood. Two men came by in a boat to rescue him. But he waved them away, shouting, "No, the Lord will save me." An hour later, another boat came along. But again the man said, "No, the Lord will save me." Eventually, a helicopter came. But the man insisted, "No, the Lord will save me." And of course, you can guess what happened. The man died. And at the gates of heaven, when he asked St. Peter, "Why didn't the Lord save me?" St. Peter said, For goodness sake, he sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more do you want? So God can use anything to help us through his word, through people, through the media, through the television, anything. He gives everything, he'll use anything at his disposal. And let's face it, that is everything. I find it difficult to understand sometimes how people like David and others like Moses and Abraham had such a strong faith and belief in God. I mean, we know about Jesus. We've read, we know about the crucifixion, how he died, how we have his Holy Spirit. And we sometimes still have difficulty believing how special and precious we are to him. I think it's just amazing how Moses and Abraham and people in the Old Testament could know this, and yet they hadn't yet met Jesus. It just astounds me. That's the kind of God we have. What is man that you care for him? Now I'm just going to go a little bit into Philemon because we haven't got much time. And I'm going to read you the Philemon 1, 4 to 7. And it says, I always thank my God as I remember you in prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of saints. And when I read this, I had to think it could be addressed to God's church in West Auckland. Perhaps even as a letter from one of the leaders here, that we would be strong in our faith in Jesus and that we would indeed love all people, as Adrian has just been saying this morning. And I do think we show this here by how we meet and greet people who come to worship, regardless of their race or their social standing, how everybody is treated the same. Even when they go to the well, everybody, whether they go for a food parcel, whether they're wearing dirty clothes, whether they need help, or whether they just go for coffee, it swells my heart to see that they are all treated by everybody the same. And if it swells my heart, I know how much God is looking and thinking how good and faithful his servants are being. But we haven't got to be complacent. We have to try and support each other and our neighbours. This is the path we chose when we decided to accept the gift of faith in Jesus Christ. We chose to accept that gift. That's why we're here. When the Vineyard Centre opens, we expect to expand the ministries of Kingdom out of our love for people, people who need help, and for the King of Kings. And to do that, we need people who live and breathe a life of Jesus and are fully and selflessly committed to him. As a church, we need to pray and pray and pray that we hear God's will and follow the leading of his Holy Spirit, who lives in each one of us with the power, and he provides us with the power and the vision and the ability that we're going to need. Now, whilst I believe this church is fully committed to Jesus Christ and the Word of God, as I've said, we can't be complacent. We can't think we're doing it right. We've got here. That's great. We have to grow our faith. And we have to grow that faith with trust and with prayer, knowing that Jesus is with us every step of the way. We are, folks, we are his people. And he will provide. But we need to do our bit, and we need to get out of that boat and allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to change our lives where necessary. Let's not forget, we have been chosen by God. We are clothed in his righteousness. And every time we walk down the street or speak to people, it is as if Jesus, in effect, is doing the walking and the talking. Are we up to that challenge? Are we willing to give ourselves completely and play our part? That's the challenge. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be his people. We're here as his people. And that's how he wants his people to be. We sang a song this morning. Come fall afresh on me. Come awake me from my sleep. Blow through the cavern of my soul. Pour in me to overflow. That's what we want the Holy Spirit to do, so that we can be God's chosen people.